Okay, Shalom Rabosi. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Mem Vav. We're here at the bottom of Mem Hey Mem Beis with a quote from our Mishnah. So if you flip back to the Mishnah, Mem Hey Mem Aleph, right, we've just been talking about if you have dough that's in cracks of a bowl, right, we had the whole situation in terms of it's in the top of the bowl, in the bottom of the bowl, is it a kezias, is it less than a kezias? Okay, that's what the Mishnah had said. Right, and now we're quoting the second part of the Mishnah that says, V'chein le'inyan tumah, and so too by tumah. That in Makpid Alav, if you care about whether the item in question, meaning the kezias of chametz here, is, right, if you care about it, meaning, i.e., you would remove it, so then chotetz, then it's going to be a chatzitza, you can't dip it in the mikveh without removing it. But in Rotza Bikyumo, but if you want to keep it, so they're in Harei Kareva, then it's batel to the rest of the bowl. So the Mishnah is, that's the core of the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, one second, mi dami, what do you mean v'chein le'inyana tumah? That's so too the same thing as like tumah. Right, the stipulations by the part of the dough at the top of the bowl, the middle of the bowl, right, whether kezias, less than the kezias, etc., and the stipulation by tumah, whether you care about whether the item is there or not, those are totally different stipulations. It has nothing to do with each other. Right, hasam over there, right, by the case of the kezias, then b'shiur talya milsa, depends on whether you have a shiur. Hacha b'kpeda talya milsa. Here, by the case of the tumah, it simply depends on whether you care that the item is there or not. There's nothing, the halacha, what do you mean v'chein? Right? The halacha is totally not relevant to each other whatsoever. So we're going to have a bunch of possibilities and understandings, interpretations, how to figure out this strange language of the Mishnah. So first of all, the simple answer, Amar Rav Huda, Ema u'l'inyan atuma, enokein. Right, just tell me that it's actually not true. It's not v'chein, it's ve'enochein. Meaning it's not the exact same halacha. It's not the same halacha at all. Okay, so he changes that language. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, what, ha'v'chein ilinin tuma katani? One second, but it doesn't say enochein, it says v'chein. So that doesn't work out so well. So Amalei Abaye, ha'v'chein, this is what it means to say, v'chein ilinin tziruf tuma b'pesach. This is in terms of when you combine tuma on Pesach. Basically, what we've said is that, again, that food to be mekabel tumah needs to be at least a kibetza in order to send the tumah, right, to make any further transmission of tumah. Right, again, that again, the whole machlokas, we quoted Rashi Tosos, right, that Rashi holds that the kibetza shear is only to make other things tame. Tosu says that only a kibetza will become tame, but either way, meaning right, the shear in question by tumah is a kibetza. What Abaye means to say is that when you have the dough, when do we say that the dough that is in the bowl will combine with other foods to make it a kibetza? Meaning the first part of the Mishnah, right, is saying that on Pesach, right, the same thing that you're going to tell me, right, that's going to tell me whether you need to get rid of the chametz, i.e., whether it's a kezias, will also tell me whether the dough will combine with other foods to be a kebetza. Meaning you need to, well, we'll see in a second, but it needs to be at least a kezias. The second part of the Mishnah is going to tell me whether we will view the dough as combining with other food outside of Pesach. And the Gemara is going to explain in a second. So I think I actually cut that short in a little bit in the Gemara, so let's just read that again. Right? Ella Amar Abai HaKakam, this is what it means. V'chein le'inyan tziruf tumah b'pesach, u'v'shar yomos ha'shana ika plugta. Meaning there's a difference, ika plugta. There's a difference between whether we're going to say that piece of dough in the bowl is it going to combine to create a shear of a kabetza to make things tameh on Pesach, as opposed to the rest of the year. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? How does that work exactly? Kigon, diko pachos mi kabetza ochlen, right? You have less than a kabetza of food, right? Obviously, right? Because if it's more than a kabetza, it's no question. Right? V'nagu b'hai batik. And now, right, it touches the dough that's in the bowl. Right? The Pesach, disuro choshev, on Pesach, when the dough is choshev, meaning that, that you have to get rid of this dough, right? We said because of kezias, you have to get rid of it, right? That's what the Mishnah said. So then, Then mitzdarif. We're going to say it's going to combine. But b'shayu mos ashana, but during the rest of the year, the bekpeda talya milsa, which will only depend on whether you want the dough in the bowl or not, so the end imakpid alav mitzdarif, right? In rotsa v'kiyuma oreu kareva. Then if you're makpid, meaning if you don't want it in the bowl, so then it will join together with the food in the bowl to make a kabeitza. But if you want to leave it in the bowl, meaning if you want to leave the dough in the cracks, so then it's considered to be part of the bowl, and that food will not combine with the dough that's essentially a wall of the bowl at this point and to create a shear. Maskiv la Rava, Rava says, what are you talking about? Mi katani mitztarif? V'chotzitz katani. The Mishnah doesn't say mitztarif. All it says is chotzitz. Right? Seemingly the issue here is that of chatzitza. Again, just to define chatzitza. Chatzitza is if you go to the mikvah and you have something. Obviously, the halacha is that everything that goes into the mikvah needs to be touched by the water. If you have something that is in the way, let's say I don't know, a band-aid on a person or a sticker on a bowl or whatever you're doing tefillah. So again, band-aid is not a great example, but whatever. That's just something that is in between the item being dipped in the water and the water. So if you have something that's called a chatzitza, and that will kind of if you're makbid about it, that will stop the tevila. But so Rava said, meaning the Mishnah doesn't talk about mitzarif. What are you talking about, Abaye? So Rava says, Ella Amar Rava. Rava suggests that v'chim mahalos tahara la'areva. This is talking about bringing tahara, right, to the bowl. What is that? What do you mean? Hechidami, what are you talking about? Kigon it's de tame hach areva. Let's say the bowl became tame. Uboy latbule, and you want to dip it in the mikvah. Again, perhaps the pashup shot of reading the Mishnah, right? Maybe perhaps what we thought of it initially when we read it. The bowl is tame. You want to dip it in the mikvah. But Pesach, on Pesach, the siru chashuv, since the dough is iser, right, is chashuv, right? It's much more, right? Again, you have to get rid of the kezayis, etc. It's chashuv even as we explained, even if it's a kezayis and you want to leave it there, you still got to get rid of it on Pesach. So when on Pesach, when it's chashuv, so then chotzitz will talk about the tefillah. Then there's a chatzitza, and then it doesn't work. But b'shayu remos hashana during the rest of the year, so then b'kpeda tal yamil. So then it just depends on whether you're leaving it in the bowl or not. And im makpid alav chotzitz v'im rotsa b'kiyuma reu kareva. So if you care that it's there, you would take it out. So then that's a chatzitza. But if you're going to leave it in there, so then that's part of the bowl, and there's no chatzitza, and it would be good to go to the mikvah. Meaning the bowl is tahor then, when you dip it in the mikvah. Maskavar, Rav Papa says again, in terms of the language of the Mishnah, that's a nice interpretation, Rava, but mikatani v'chein l'inyan tahara. We're not talking about tahara, right, making the bowl tahor, hal inyan tuma katani, right? It says v'chein l'inyan tuma. Right, so what are you talking about? So that can't be what we're talking about. Right? Rava could probably just go back at him and be like, yeah, the bowl was tame, and we're talking about making it tahor. But okay, either way, still valid. Rav Papa explains that no, we're talking about whether the bowl is mekabel tuma. If we'll say that the bowl is tame. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Go to Naga Sheretz by Batek. A Sheretz, right, one of the creepy crawling things that will convey Tuma upon its death. So that where that touches the dough that is inside the bowl. B'Pesach, the Isser of Chashav on Pesach, when the dough is, again, the Isser's Chashav makes it more significant, so then Chotzitz. Then the dough is considered to be a Chatzitza between the Sheretz and the bowl. And therefore, v'lo nachta l'tumah, the bowl will not become tame. But b'shari masa shana, but the rest of the year, the peda talya, where it depends on whether you care whether the dough is in there, so then in makpidol of chotetz, but in roti the kiyuma, so then areyu kareva, right, if you're makpidol about it, if you care, then it is a chatzitza and the bowl is not tame. But if you want it to be part of the bowl and you want to leave it there, then the bowl is going to be tame because it's as if the sheretz is going to be touching, right, a wall of the bowl. Okay. Fine. Now, next Mishnah. Batzik ha-cheresh. Now, there are two ways to understand. Right? Rashi has two possibilities in terms of what that means. Cheresh, in the first understanding, is like a deaf-mute, meaning we don't know what its status is. It's like kind of like a suffix, or whether it is chametz or not. meaning it doesn't necessarily look like chametz, but it might be chametz. The other understanding that Rashi learns is called the cheres, which is kind of like pottery, right? Even though cheres is usually with samech, but okay, fine. But either way, meaning the dough is hard, it doesn't look like chametz, but we're concerned that it might be chametz. Either way, it's the same pshat. If you have another dough that became chametz that you can compare it to, and it looks the same, so then hareza aser, then we're going to say that this batzei kachirish is aser. We can assume that, right, that they were either cooked together or whatever, or they're the same type of dough, and that's just how it looks once it becomes chametz. Okay, so the Gemara asks the obvious question, right? Im ein sham kayotze bo. Okay, great. If you have something to compare it to, I gotcha. But let's say there's nothing else there. So how do you figure out what it is? So I'm Rabbi Avo, I'm Rishab Ben Lakish. It will be chametz. That's the words that are missing from this Gemara. But literally, that means the amount of time it takes for a person to walk from Migdal Nunya to Tveria, and that is the distance of a mil, which is about let's say it's 2,000 amos, is about 6 or 7/10 of a mile. So basically, if the dough, right, had enough time, right, if there was that amount of time, a meal's worth of time, between when it was cooking and when you see it now, so if there's enough time for it to become chametz, so if it had a meal's worth of time, the amount of time it takes to walk a meal, so then it's going to be considered chametz. How long is that? So that's a machlokes in the Achronim, whether a meal is 18 minutes, 22 minutes, or 24 minutes. Take your pick. Okay, so Gemara says v'nima mil. So why didn't the Gemara just say, okay, it's a mil, right? Why do you have to mention Migdal Nunya, Tveria, etc.? So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara teaches us the shiur of the mil can Migdal Nunya v'ad Tveria. That's how long it takes, right? The amount of time it takes to walk from Migdal Nunya to Tveria, that is a mil. There's a comparable Gemara in Megillah that says that the distance of a mil is mechamsan to Tveria, not from Migdal Nunya to Tveria, but from Chamzon to Tveria. So either you could say that that's the same place, or you could say that they were equidistant, right? Equally, distant from Tveria. But either way, that's the measurement of a mil. Amar Avivel, Amar Shimon ben Lakish, Legabal, Letfila, Lentilas Yadayim, Arba Milin. Now, this is not related to anything, but I guess we just quoted the shear of a mil. So Rish Lakish says that for these three halachos, right, the shear is 4 mil. And again, if you take, let's say, the most lenient approach, let's say it's 18, well, I don't know if it's lenient, but you take the smallest amount, let's say for a meal is 18 minutes, so we're talking about a shear of 72 minutes. So the 72 minutes for legabal, for the tefillah, and the tefillah yadayim. What are those three cases? So legabal is for someone, I guess back in the day, they used to pay people to knead dough, right? I guess, without a bread maker, right? I guess kneading dough, K-N-E-A-D, was, time-consuming and maybe difficult or whatever. So the question is, right, if someone hires someone to knead his dough, and he wants his dough to be tahor, but all the kelim are tameh, how far does the guy who's kneading, or the woman who's kneading the dough, have to go to get a tahor kli before she can say I give up and it's going to be tameh? Meaning, how far does she have to go to insist? Right, again, the business arrangement was, I need my dough to be tahor, I need you to knead it. Need you to knead it, okay, whatever, fine. So the question is, how far does she have to go to look for a tahor kli? So a traveling distance of 4 mil of 72 minutes. So the tefillah. What about tefillah? So this is this is already very halachal maisa, how far a person should go to daven with a minyan. Right? If a person goes away on vacation, there's a minyan an hour and a half away. So is a person obligated to go get a minyan? Right? Right? Certainly a very nice thing to go on vacation in a place where there's a minyan, but sometimes not so easy. So how far is the distance a person has to travel to go get a minyan? And we'll see in a second, right, just in a few minutes, we'll see it's not necessarily 72 minutes in every direction. We'll see in a second at the end of the Gemara that it's not necessarily that far. It depends. Like most halachic shilas, it usually depends. Okay, either way, the third one is the tilas yadayim, is simply how far do you have to look for water before washing your hands, for bread, right? How long does it take, right, for the whole, before you use the whole sandwich in a bag, not touching my fingers thing, right? So if you have 72 minutes, 4 mil away from where you are, if there's no water in that 72 minutes, so then you can already, you know, make hamotzi with the bag. But if there is water to wash your hands, then you should stop and wash your hands. Amar Nachum Bar Yitzchak, it was Evu Amra. Actually, it was Evu who said this, not Rabbi Avo. But Arba Amar Ba, and he said four of them. V'chadi minayu Ibud, and the fourth one is with tanning hides, with tanning leather. That's not like the Mishnah. V'chulin she'idan, if you have all of these things, meaning all of the animal skins that are turned into they're tanned into leather. So osha hilich behen kidei avoda tahorin chutz me or adam, or if they're stepped upon, meaning they're going to be tahor, except for human skin, right, which is really weird, which is tamei regardless, right, even if you work it into leather. Meaning, the question here is simply, at what point does animal skins stop becoming food and start becoming leather? And start becoming, let's say, clothing or whatever. So that, that obviously has ramifications in terms of tumah and tara. Again, food is, you know, different, has different requirements in terms of tumah and tara, how it becomes tumah, how it transmits tumah, etc. So, at what point are the skins going to no longer be food, and what time are they going to be tummy? So again, if all of these things, if they're worked, you know, they're made into leather. So you did some sort of work on it, kama kvdei avoda, how do you define the amount of time to turn it into leather? So amar Rabbi Evu, right, amar Rabbi Yanai, kdei hiluch arba milin, right, if you were working on it for 31 minutes. Now here's the point of what I wanted to, the Gemara is about to say about searching for, let's say, water or for a minyan, water to wash your hands, or a minyan, etc., right, all the halachos here. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, lo sharu el lafonav. That's only if it's in front of you, meaning if you're traveling from, I don't know, New York to Pittsburgh, and you're looking for a minyan, and 72 minutes in front of you, there is no minyan, right? But aval acharav, but let's say to go out of your way to find a minyan, right? To go off course, that's a different shear. That's a different shear. Meaning to continue on the road you're traveling, and you know there's going to be a rest stop soon, so you can wash your hands, or you know there's going to be a shul soon, so you can go down to Mincha or whatever. So that's 72 minutes is in front of you. Bavala Achrav, but behind you, to go in and out of your way, so then afilu mila rechozer. You don't even have to do a mil. Meaning even if it's 18 minutes, then you don't have to go out of your way. Implying that less than 18 minutes, you do have to go out of your way. So the shear to, let's say, you know, drive off the highway and get to a rest stop and then get back on the road, right? If it, you can do it in a 17-minute, I don't think you have to time it, but I mean, if it's going to take you less than 17 minutes, then it's appropriate to stop at the rest stop and wash your hands on the Tiyasidayim. But if it's going to be more than that, I don't know, in some highways, the rest stops are very far between each other. So at that point, okay, so then you can use the whole sandwich in a bag, Hamotzi Lechem and Aretz type thing, and same thing for davening, and for the other halachos here. Amar Ravacha, Ravacha says, we know, and for this you can learn that Milhu Din Nechozer Hapa, just what I pointed out before, that it's 18 minutes that you don't have to go, but 17 minutes you do, that's what Ravacha says, right? From Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, we learned that a mil, a person doesn't have to go out of his way, but Hapakos Mimil Chozer, but if it's less than that, then you do have to go and look, and go out of your way and find either a minion or an Antia Sidayim, etc., etc. Okay. Another Mishnah. Ketzet Mafrishin Chala B'Tuma B'Yontif. How do you take Chala on, that's Tameh, on Yontif? We know, right, that it's, you're allowed to do Malacha on Yontif. That's, you're allowed to bake, right, the Heter Ochel Nefesh. So, right, theoretically, you're allowed to bake Chala on Yontif, right? Problem is that if you make dough, right, so you have to separate dough, right? You have to separate challah, right? And since challah obviously has kedusha, right? You have to give it to the Kohen, right? But the problem is, now let's say you're doing it on Pesach, right? Usually, normally, when a person would take challah, right, you're not running into issues of chametz because it's during the year. You separate challah, and you put it in the oven and you bake it and you make sure, right, it's not going to be chametz, etc. But if the dough is tame, right, what's the case here? Ketzad mafrishin challah betumah. Right, if it was tahor, you could just throw it in the oven, give it to the kohen, wonderful. Right, it's not. You can make sure it doesn't become chametz, fine. If it's tame, the kohen can't eat it, and therefore you can't bake it because it's only heter ochel nefesh that's mutter on yantif. Right? Baking on yantif is only for consumption, but if the kohen's not going to eat it, so then you can't bake the dough that you just separated. You're also not allowed to burn it because, again, if that's a malacha on yantif, you're not allowed to do that. Right? It's only allowed to do a malacha for food. And also because you're not allowed to destroy necessarily tumah on yantif as well. You're not allowed to destroy truma as well. So what do you do? Right? So how do you take challah? Right? This is a weird process because normally you just throw it in the oven and it would come out. But here it's tame, so the kohen's not going to eat it. So what's going on? So how do you figure this out? So we're going to have a bunch of possibilities. Rabbi Elazar says, "Lo tikra la shem ad she'tayafe," that she shouldn't designate the challah until it's baked. Meaning, bake the whole thing. Instead of separating challah from dough, bake the whole thing, make sure it doesn't become chametz, and then take off the challah. Ben Becerra says, tatil betzonei. She should put the challah, meaning the extra dough that we took off from the dough, right? The challah, right? That's what challah is, right? So you should put that in cold water, because that's going to, I guess, slow down the chametz process. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Lo zeu chametz. Rabbi Yeshua says, you have actually no problem because this is not chametz. Fascinating shita that the challah, the extra dough that you take off from this dough, is not chametz. Shem uzharin alav b'bayi rabbi matzei that you're not allowed to have. Right, you have chametz that what are you not allowed to have on Pesach? Chametz that you own. Yeah, so. When you take challah, that's not yours. Also, right? It becomes property of the kohen. Which kohen does it become property of? No kohen. You're not giving anybody the challah, right? So no kohen is going to be chayav for bayir rabbi matzeh. You're not going to be chayav for challah for bayir rabbi matzeh because it's not yours. So it says, fascinating. It says Rabbi Yeshua, right, it's not a problem because there's no iser bayir rabbi matzeh. Anyway, you're not going to eat it. There's no problem by Rabbi Matzeh. That's by owning chametz. You don't own this challah. No singular kohen owns this challah because you have to give it to a kohen. So everything is fine. So what do? Ela mafrish zamanicha de'erev. So just take it out. Right? Just separate the challah and leave it there, right, until after Yom Tov. If it becomes chametz. Nobody cares. It's not a big deal. Everybody relax. Fascinating shita. So obviously everybody else disagrees with that, right? Obviously that's the most simple thing to do, right? To say that there's no issur here whatsoever. So obviously Rabbi Elazar and who was it? And Ben Becerra, right, are going to disagree and say that, no, it is a problem. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the machlokas? So lema b'tovas hana k'mefugi. Maybe the machlokas is whether tovas hana is worth any money. What's tovas hana? Tovas hana simply, as Rashi explains here, first Rashi in the Gemara, that you have the ability now to give, let's say a regular case of challah. You separate challah, you're holding some dough. This you can give to any kohen you want. That opportunity and ability to give it to any kohen you want, that's worth something. Meaning that's the question. Is that worth something? Is that does that have monetary value? So maybe that's the machlokas. Rabbi Elazar suffered tovas hana mamon. Then Rabbi Elazar holds that, yeah, this is worth something. And therefore, since you have the opportunity to give this dough to whoever you want, that's valuable. Therefore, you violate by Rabbi Matzeh. You may not necessarily own the dough, but you own the rights to give the dough to anybody, and that's going to violate by Rabbi Matzeh. That's considered owning Chametz on Pesach. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Sefer Tovas Hana, in a mamon. Right? Maybe that's not worth anything. What are you talking about? There's no monetary value here. So therefore, you're not going to be chayv and bother Rabbi Yamatzei. Maybe that's the machlokas. Gemara says, no, that's not it. The kulei alma savri tovus hana inam amon. Everybody holds that that's not worth anything. That's not really any value whatsoever. Even though you can give it to whatever coin you want, that's not valuable. The hacha here, what's the machlokas? The machlokas is whether you say the concept of sense. Right? Again, we've had several. There's several types of hoil in the Gemara, and this is another one. Right? We had a couple of blot ago. We had a concept of hoil. Right here, what is the concept of hoil here? I'm trying to find. Right, I skipped a couple lines. The Rabbi Lezer Sover, the Rabbi Lezer says, Amrinan hoil ve'i boi ishta itshel ala mimamonehu. Since you could ask and you could go and annul and invalidate the designation of challah, right? Meaning you separate challah from the dough. Now you're holding challah. You can go and get rid of that designation. Now it's actually fascinating. A friend of mine told me he did this last week. That I'm not sure exactly why, but the process of getting rid of a designation of challah is through a beis din. You actually have to go to a beis din. I guess Talmud Chacham, but nowadays it would be a Beis Din. It's almost like being shoal on a nether, almost trying to get a nether revoked. So, you know, like we do at Taras Nedarim. So same idea. It's very interesting because you wouldn't necessarily have thought that designating challah is a nether per se. But okay, either way, it's the same mechanism. I'm not sure if it's the same halachic process, but that's how you get rid of a challah designation. So either way, since you could theoretically take away the challah designation on this dough, and therefore it would be yours, so therefore mamonehu, therefore it is considered to be your property, your money, and therefore you violate barah by your matzeh. Rabbi Shua Sofer, no, lo min hoel. We don't say that at all. That's ridiculous. We don't. That doesn't have any impact, and therefore it's not yours whatsoever. Itmar, it was said, using this concept of hoel, ha'ofa miyamtav l'chol, if a person bakes from yontif for a weekday, Rav Chista Amar Loka, Rabba Amar Eino Loka. Rav Chista says you get Malkus, Rabba says you do not. Rav Chista Amar Loka, because Lo Amrin and Hoel Umikloy Le Orchid, so therefore Chazile. We should really explain the Hoel. The Hoel here is a different Hoel. Do we say, maybe since guests could come, and therefore the baking that you did on Yontif would be for your guests and not for a weekday, so do we say that therefore the baking you did for a weekday, right? Let's say it's Yontif, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Are you allowed to bake a cake for Shal Shittas? I don't know, not for Shal Shittas, but for the afternoon? Yes. Are you allowed to bake a cake for tomorrow, which is Tuesday? No. But let's say you bake a cake, and at 3 o'clock, people knock on the door, and guests come over. Mitzvah Shem, we should all be zocha, take away the corona, we can all go back to having guests. Amen. Anyway, so how could you, theoretically, that cake could be used for the guests. So Rav Chista says, you get Malkus because we don't say that. We don't care that maybe somebody will knock on your door at 3 o'clock. Lamaisa, you bake this cake for tomorrow. And cooking from Yontif to weekday is usher, and therefore you get Malkus. Rabba Amar, Eino Loka. Rabba says, no, you don't get Malkus because Amrin and Hoil. We say since guests could come, theoretically, this baking could be for Yontif, and therefore it's not a baking from Yontif to Chol. Amalei Rabbi Rav Chista, Rabbi said to Rav Chista, "L'didchak the Amar Talah Amrin and Hoel." Right, according to you, right, who says that we don't say Hoel, that we don't care whether that guests might be able to come, Heach Ofen Miyamtiv to Shabbos. He has a good question. How can you then cook from Yontif to Shabbos? Right, Yontif to Shabbos is also not mutter. Right, why, how can you cook from Yontif to Shabbos? Right, this should be the same issue. And again, obviously, you're allowed to cook. Again, we're going to bring in Erev Tavshila in a second, so don't jump the gun. But if you're telling me we don't say Hoel, what's the heter to cook from Yontif to Shabbos? So I'm like, Mishum Erev Tavshila. He said, yeah, because you make an Erev Tavshila. So he said, one second, Mishum Erev Tavshila Sharin Isra Midar Araisa. Right, because of Erev Tavshila, we're going to allow an Isra Daraisa. That the Erev Tavshila, which is the Rabbanan, is going to get rid of an Isra Daraisa to cook from Yontif to the day after it, which is not Yontif. Right? You're allowed to cook Heter Ochol Nefesh, but that only applies for Yontif, not the day after. So he said to him, no, Midaraisa Tzarchi Shabbos Nasim B'Yontif. So Chista said, I hold that Midaraisa, you can cook from Yontif to Shabbos. That's considered to be Tzorich Yontif, in a sense. That's Mutter. That's included in the Heter of Ochel Nefesh. For a Banan who degozer be'gzeira, Shema Yomru ofer miyontif af l'chol. And Chazal or gozer, why can't you cook from Yontif to Shabbos? In general, according to the Chachamim, because you might get confused and think that it's mutter to cook from Yontif to a weekday. So then, therefore, v'kevin datzuchur rabbanan ruv tavshilin is lehekera. And then, since the Chachamim, so what do the Chachamim do to allow you to cook from Yontif to Shabbos? And to make sure you don't get it confused with cooking from Yontif to a weekday, they instituted this concept of Erev Tavshilin, which is a heker, which is a remainder. That's how Erev Tavshilin helps. Right? It doesn't help, really, if you make an Erev Tavshilin, you put it away. Right? So, so basically, when you cook from Yontif to Shabbos, so you have a reminder that cooking from Yontif to Shabbos is mutter, but cooking from Yontif to Chol is not mutter. Okay, fine. So that was the conversation about Chol between Rabba and Rav Chisda. One more question from Rabba to Rav Chisda. Yitzvei, ask you a question. Behema Mesukenes. If you have an animal that is in danger, right, it's not feeling so great, or you're not sure whether it is what's it called, right? It is going to die. So what can you do with that? Lo yishkot, right? You can't shecht it on Yontif. Ella kedeshi yachol lechol imenu kezayis tzli mibod yom. Unless you're planning on roasting some of that food and eating it on Yontif. I.e., unless there's enough time. Meaning, unless you have enough time to shecht it, take some meat, throw it on the fire, and eat it. But, yachol, lechol, you might have thought yachol lechol, afagav de lo boyim lechol, right? Implying that it's only a time requirement here, not necessarily whether you want to eat it. Meaning, even if you already ate, and you're not interested in eating it, the Brisa implies that the requirement is that you need to have enough time, let's say, I don't know, 2 hours left to Yontif to figure out, you know, to determine whether you're allowed to shecht it and then and save the animal from turning into a navela, right, without dying without proper shechita. So, Bishlam Alididi Dami Hovil, according to me, Rabbi says that we say Hovil since maybe guests will come. But hov iboy lemechel so matzi achil. So we have a similar hovel over here. Since if you wanted to eat some of this cow meat, you could have. So mishum achi yeshko. Therefore, you're allowed to shecht it. El lidchad lo da amarta lo minin hovel. But if you don't say hovel, so then amay yeshkot. Why is the person allowed to shecht it? He doesn't actually want to eat it. So what does it matter, right? How much time you have? So I'm going to say back to him, Mishum Hefsir Mamono. Because you're going to lose a lot of money. Right? Nevela is usher. You're not allowed to use the meat. So that's going to be a big problem. Right? So therefore, you can shecht it to save them. Cows a lot of money. So you can shecht it, said Rav Chisda, you can shecht it to save money. So the same question Rabbi said, Mishum Hefsir Mamono, Shirin Yisur Daraisa. Well, because this guy is going to lose a lot of money. Therefore, it didn't Daraisa. The shechting on Yontif, Shalola Torah, is usher Daraisa. So we're going to allow that? So Amarle, fascinating answer. In yes, Mishum Hefsi Mamono Gomer Belibo Lechol Kezayis. Not because Hefsi Mamono is going to uproot Din Daraisa, but because of the potential loss of money, the guy will decide to eat some of the meat. If he knows that that's the only way he can save his financial investment, not to be cruel to the animal, but listen, the mice of the animal is dying anyway. So the person is concerned about his money. Right? And I guess he's very, cold-hearted, but I guess he's got his head on thinking about one thing. He's going to lose all his money, that the cow's going to die without proper shechita. So he's not that overrides the Issur Daraisa, but he's going to decide, you know what? Okay, the only way for me to save my money is to eat it, so then I'm going to eat it. And therefore, once he needs to eat he's going to eat a kazayis, well, you can't eat a kazayis of meat without shechting the animal, so therefore you're allowed to shecht it on Yontif. Okay, we have another kasha on this discussion. Right? We'll go back weiter this discussion of Hovel between Rabbi and Rav Chisda tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.